This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The lights are out.
Curry gets it. The lights go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Draymond, penetration, leaves his feet, throws it over the top to Porter, now to Steph. Steph doubled at midcourt, pass cross-court, throws it out of bounds. The Warriors are becoming unglued here in the fourth quarter.
I'll tell you, the Warriors' bench has been invisible tonight. 9 points from their bench. You got 30 from the bench of Philly.
Yeah, and the Philadelphia bench did help flip the game back in the Sixers' favor, in particular late third and early fourth quarters, as the Sixers go on to win tonight in Philadelphia 102-93, as you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game with Tim Roy and Jim Barnett. I'm John Dickinson. We welcome you in here to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Let's react to this one as the Dubs take their fifth loss of the season, 0-1. On this five-game roadie, as they drop the opener tonight on the national stage in Philadelphia to the Sixers. And the highlight we played coming in, a stretch where the Warriors had actually forced five straight stops, essentially, of the Philadelphia 76ers, as the Sixers had an 81-78 lead at that point. And there was a stretch where the Sixers had five straight possessions, four chances at the rim off of Warrior misses or turnovers, and they only scored 1 point in that stretch, but the Warriors just couldn't quite take advantage. The Sixers missed an opportunity there to extend the lead. The Warriors missed a big-time opportunity there to get back in the lead, and ultimately the Sixers would take this thing over, outscoring the Dubs 32-20 in the fourth quarter and outscoring the Warriors 46-24 after the Warriors' largest lead of the ball game, which was 69-56 midway through the third quarter. So a lot to discuss on a night where, at least coming into play, there was a tremendous amount of focus on Stephen Curry and the 10 three-pointers that he needed to break the all-time three-point record. But forget about that. Like, I felt just kind of right off the top, like there was, and of course it would be a major storyline going into the game, but, and there was a lot of chatter on the ABC television broadcast about how Doc Rivers and the Sixers, who are a pretty good defensive team, we're not going to let Curry break the record. I mean, forget about that. I mean, your best opportunity to try and have a shot to beat the Warriors is to try and slow down Steph Curry the best you can, and most teams on most nights are incapable of doing it at all, or at the very minimum, consistently enough to earn wins, which is why the Warriors have the record that they do. But you look at this game as a whole, and it was really played on the Sixers' terms with respect to physicality and defense and making the game extremely rugged. And they put Matisse Thybul on Steph Curry and basically had him shadowed for the entire game, the way you would take your top corner maybe in the NFL and put that player on a top wide receiver and have him follow him around to every spot on the field. Curry was taken out mid-first quarter, Thybul subbed out of the game, and Danny Green came in. So there were some double teams, and the Sixers mixed it up. But first and foremost, you could tell that Doc Rivers, and look, it's the tried and true template, at least in what you try to do. And again, a lot of teams that have some level of success with it, you can't have consistent success with it, because the Warriors are either going to make you pay by, if you're doubling them, you know, playing 4-on-3 in the back end and getting other players' shots, or Steph Curry's just too good that at some point in the game, he's going to have a hot spell and the Warriors are going to be doing enough enough other things well to where that hot spell can be the end of you, basically. But Philadelphia, nevertheless, that was the game plan for him and them. And it's a night where you look up at the end of it and the Warriors made 12 of 48 from three-point range, just 25%. They shot 40% overall. And the Sixers, I thought, for the most part, played the game on their terms. Now, it looked from the middle of the second quarter till the middle of the third quarter, about a 12-minute stretch, where Philadelphia, by virtue of their poor play offensively and the Warriors' exceptional defense, and for as good a job as Philadelphia did on Stephen Curry tonight, the Warriors did an excellent job on Joel Embiid for significant stretches of this game and really made life difficult for the Sixers. And it felt throughout the majority of this game in the first and second quarters like Philly wasn't doing enough offensively to really make the Warriors pay for the fact that the Warriors weren't shooting the basketball well and Stephen Curry was you know, being made work at a level that so few teams can ever consistently make him work. But the reality is it felt like Philly left too much out there. And because Philly had missed some layups and the Warriors were able to get some turnovers going the other way, it felt like the Warriors were going to at some point break through, and ultimately they did. As you look at just the different segments of this game, Philly a 38-28 lead in the second quarter. Warriors closed the half on a 21-8 run to take a three-point lead in at the break, and then they come out and jump the Sixers at the beginning of the third quarter, 20-10, all of a sudden they're up 69-56. And I thought the Warriors were in complete control with Philadelphia not doing anything offensively and Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins carrying the Warriors, essentially, with Stephen Curry struggling. It was a couple of the other guys making them pay, but then the game flipped back late third, and from really the final 17 and a half minutes of this one, it was all Philadelphia, and they were able to get the game back on their terms in terms of physicality, in terms of defense, in terms of making Stephen Curry work, and the Warriors just didn't have enough others at that point able to make Philadelphia pay for the job and the defense that they were trying to employ against Stephen Curry. So you add it all up, and the Warriors wind up taking an L on the opener of this road trip, 102-93. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's react to this one as the Warriors dip now to 21-5. And I think if you look at the Warriors' five losses this season, and they all tell their own story, I think, to a certain extent. But if you look at the five losses this season, I think for the most part, they all have one common theme. And I think the common theme, as far as the Warrior losses go, it's offense. It's not enough offense in the games that they've been beat. I'm just looking at 101 points. In overtime, the Warriors scored 101 in their first loss of the year to Memphis. They scored 102 in Charlotte in their second loss of the season. Third loss of the season comes at the hands of the Suns, where they score 96. And this one, a season low for the Warriors, just 93 points. The 20 in the fourth quarter after they were able to get a little bit of a rhythm from mid-second quarter to mid-third quarter. But I think some of these more premier games, the Warriors just haven't had enough offense. And right now, as this team is currently constituted, for all the depth that they have and for Wiggins and Poole being able to help carry this team throughout different portions of games, I think for the most part against good teams right now, we're seeing where Stephen Curry has to play well for this team to win, and he has to shoot the basketball well for this team to win. Now, does that change? Does some of that margin for error change when Klay Thompson comes back and they get him into the fold? I think the Warriors are surely hoping that that's the last piece of the puzzle, and it's another way that Golden State can make teams pay for the focus and for the attention that they're trying to lay on Stephen Curry and essentially saying, we'll let anybody else else beat us. And at times, Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole were beating Philadelphia. But in the fourth quarter, you know it's going to be Steph time. And in the fourth quarter, Wiggins and Poole effectively disappeared as well for the Warriors as Philadelphia goes on to get the job done. Another key component of this one, for as nice a job as the Dubs did against Joel Embiid, 7-16, he did get to the free throw line 11 times, and Draymond was on him some, and I thought Kevon Looney did a nice job on him, in particular early in the game. But Kevon Looney and Draymond Green can't play every minute of every game, and Draymond Green did get himself into foul trouble early, which adjusted the Warriors' rotation some. And even if Looney and Draymond are not in foul trouble, Bielitsa is still going to have to play, and the Warriors are going to have to play small. And tonight was a night where Bielitsa really struggled. Minus 23 in the time that he was on the floor, and that's where Drummond, that's where Embiid at times was able to do enough to help Philadelphia gain enough ground to where they were able to hang in the game themselves and be primed to make the run that they made. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson with you here. We'll keep it going until about 9:30. Let's react to this one. What's your concern level over Stephen Curry? Another rough shooting night. I didn't think tonight was a game where he was chasing the record, as was much discussed coming out of the Portland game. I just think tonight was a night where he missed some open ones, but the Philadelphia 76ers get some credit, a lot like the way the Phoenix Suns get some credit for the way they defended Stephen Curry in the game in Phoenix that the Suns were able to win against the Warriors on the final night of November. The defense gets credit, and I think the defense does deserve some credit for that in this one. It wasn't just missed shots, although Curry did miss some open shots. But I also think when Curry misses some open shots, sometimes there's more to the story than just him missing a shot that typically he'll make. I think when you have a defense that's making somebody work, that's being physical, that's really grinding the game down, and I thought Philadelphia did that, when the game is made harder and you're a little bit out of a flow, all of a sudden you do miss some open shots when you get them because you're just a tick off or you're just a tick out of rhythm. So I think Philadelphia tonight does get some credit for the way they defended. And sometimes there is a little bit of bleed over or trickle in terms of the strong defense. And then you add, it trickling over to some of the misses when plays are well defended. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from Steve Kerr following this one as the Sixers get the better of the Dubs on this road trip opener in Philly.
What do you think was the offensive problem tonight?
Well, 12 for 48 from three. Ball's got to go in. Win the game, you got to make some shots. So I thought they did a really good job on Steph. They just kept five along the whole game, and he harassed him really well. And they sent some doubles, and we just couldn't make them pay enough for paying so much attention to Steph. We had some decent looks. I'll watch the tape and see what we could do better. But I think Doc's the one who made up the term make or miss lead. It's kind of the truth. Like, you got to make shots, and tonight we just couldn't make shots.
We've talked recently about just how many of Steph's shots this season are from three, not from two. I mean, would you tonight again? I mean, it's very overloaded with threes. Would you like to see him try to maybe use the mid-range, get to the rim more? Could that counteract some of this pressure?
I thought he did that in the first half quite a bit. He got to the rim a couple times. He was patient. Had a couple mid-rangers. But again, I give Thibault credit. I thought he was fantastic defensively. He's a rare combination, of length and athleticism and brains, and he did as good a job on Steph as anybody I've seen in a long time.
Steve, those missed shots notwithstanding, you made some in the third quarter, got a 13-point lead. What changed that, like the third quarter, like the fourth, to turn it back?
Just couldn't sustain it. You know, it was a little bit of a strange game just with the foul trouble. You know, Draymond picked up the fourth foul, so we decided to let Steph run, you know, through the most of the third quarter, just because we didn't want both of them off the floor. And we hung in there pretty well. But when Steph went off the floor at the whatever it was, 2-3 minute mark, I think we lost most of the lead at that point. So our rotations got a little messed up with the foul trouble, and just couldn't get the ball to go in the basket, couldn't sustain that lead.
With Steph, it's volume and efficiency, right? The efficiency hasn't been there as much the last couple games. Do you get a sense that he's pressing at all, or is it defensive adjustments and everything?
Tonight I thought it was the defense that he was facing than anything. You know, teams are going to commit everything to keep Steph from going, and that's what Philadelphia did tonight. And as I said, they've got a guy who they can put on him. He's pretty tough to shake. So they did a hell of a job defensively. They earned it, and we just got to bounce back.
You mentioned the foul trouble. Draymond had to sit in different parts of the game. Looney was out in some of those pockets. I think when Bielitsa was on the floor, you guys were minus something like 20. I know this is a particular matchup for it, but did maybe your lack of center depth, you feel like, show tonight?
No, I mean, you know, Looney was great. You know, Draymond was really solid. I thought we did a pretty good job on Embiid for the most part, but this is a very unique matchup. You know, Joel is obviously a really talented player, but an old school center in a lot of ways, just his ability to score in the paint and dominate physically. So I thought we did, you know, as good a job on him as we could have. We got to the line a few more times than we would have liked, but battle of hard, we just didn't score enough. That was the main thing. I mean, if we hold teams to 102 and 46% from the field and 33 from three, we usually win that game. So it's more about our offense than our defense.
Belly's on a bit of a cold snap, two shooting lines. What do you attribute that to?
You know, long season, and that's how the year goes. You know, even for a great shooter like Belly, you know, there's going to be spells where you're not feeling it quite as much, and he'll bounce back.
Do you sense a hesitancy from him when he gets the ball?
Yeah, I saw a couple plays tonight where he hesitated a little bit, and we want him to be aggressive. We want him to let that thing go, and very confident in him. He's been doing this a long time, been in the league for many, many years, and shot it at a high level. He's helped us win a lot of games already this year. He'll bounce back.
Obviously, you're only visiting here, but did you feel any extra electricity in the building?
Great atmosphere. This is one of my favorite arenas to play in, just because you can feel the love for basketball in Philadelphia. Sixer fans there's just a lot of history here, a lot of emotion, and it's always a treat to come here and play, you know, once a year.
Go ahead. I think Andre looked after so much time.
Yeah, he struggled. You know, it's been a month or so since he played, and obviously just trying to get his legs underneath him. So it wasn't Andre's best night, but he'll bounce back. He just needs to get some reps and some rhythm.
We talked about this a little bit last night. What goes in as a staff as far as veterans on this back coming up in the New York plays? What goes into the rotation?
The
decision on who might sit, who might play in the New York.
Yeah, I mean, we look at matchups. We make adjustments during games, like we did tonight when there's foul trouble. You know, we try to find combinations. We like certain combinations. So every game is a little different, but we have confidence in everybody on our roster. You know, tonight was a night where we were searching, trying to find a combination, especially in that second half that clicked. And, you know, other than that one run when we went up 13, we just couldn't really get any momentum and find a lineup that really worked. We were searching, and we just couldn't get there.
couldn't quite get there tonight. The Warriors basically played good basketball for about a quarter of this game, and it was really for the midpoint of the second quarter until the midpoint of the third quarter. And Steve Kerr there addressing a number of things coming off of this one. Nemanja Bjelica's struggles among them. Some of the other things that I had pointed out just kind of in the opening segment here. And then Andre Iguodala. A rare Andre Iguodala night where he really didn't bring much to the table. A minus 17. He looked in a great rhythm at the beginning of the season. He looked like a guy that hadn't played in a month. And that's very unusual because typically he comes into high-profile games like tonight and really helps make a positive impact on this Warriors team, but that did not happen. And really big picture, I think it was a good bench night for the Sixers and their bench group helping to flip this game. 888-957-9570. Let's get to Eric and Milbrae on 95.7 The Game. What's up, E?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, not the Warriors night tonight. I thought they had a chance to put this game away, but unfortunately, if you get sloppy and you don't put the nail in the final coffin, even a team like Philly, who's still a good team, I know they've been slumping with COVID and everything like that, but when you have a guy like Embiid, you can rally, especially at home where that Philly is a very tough place to play. I know the record isn't what they wanted to be, but they're finally fully healthy, and you're seeing with a team like them, they can make it come. And when they hit shots and when you got guys besides Embiid taking over, a guy like Maxey is an ascending talent, and you mentioned Tybalt, who's probably the best, if not the best perimeter defender in the game, make Curry work for everything. So that guy is one of the best in the league in terms of shutting them down. You know, they didn't want them to set a record while Seth was across the way as well. So I thought the Warriors would go 3-2 in this road trip. I thought this would be one of their losses, and probably I could see them losing maybe that Boston game as well. Overall, you know, not too much to be worried about. I know something because the Curry shot is not where he wants to be, but we know how he is. When he gets it going, he's going to be locked in, so he's still the best shooter of all time. It's just a matter of putting these type of games away. Hey, Philly, give him credit, man. It looked like they were going to be down and out, and Joel Embiid and Maxey and a couple of their other guys off the bench, Shake Milton, really got it going there. So you got to – sometimes you have to just the team just outplays you there, the stretch, especially at home – crowd like that. So I expect them to fully regroup. What's the status with Curry? Is he going to play in Indy, or you think they're going to hold him out for the Knicks? I'll take your thoughts on that. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, appreciate it, Eric. I know that there's been some sentiment that the Warriors are thinking about or considering having Steph Curry take a game off here, and I don't really understand where that's coming from, to be honest. And I know Nick Friedell asked Steve Kerr in the press conference that we just played about that, and I think Steve misunderstood the question. He was talking more about the rotation. I think Nick was asking, hey, are you planning on maybe resting somebody, some of the veterans? I mean, this team just had 2 days off and they just started a road trip. I would be surprised at this point if the Warriors were going to say, hey, Steph Curry's going to take the front end of a back-to-back off in Indiana. Now, if there's a game where maybe he winds up taking off, maybe at the end of this trip where you're going to play Monday and Tuesday, then you have 2 days off, you play in Boston, and then you go up and you play Toronto, maybe that's a game with the fourth game of the trip and what will amount to four games in 6 nights, and then you come back and have a relatively quick turnaround with the Kings in on the Monday after the Warriors play a week from tonight. But there's a lot of chatter about that. I was watching a little bit of the post game on television on ABC 7 here in the Bay, and they were talking about, oh, is Curry going to miss? Like, I don't really think that's the plan. Now, maybe something comes down, and I know Steph has said maybe he's a little bit more fatigued, and Steve Kerr's talked about some of the fatigue issues, but I would be surprised at this point if they're just deciding they're going to rest guys against Indiana. I mean, the Warriors typically don't do that as much as other teams. As far as the rest of it, I think you got to give Phil a lot of credit. Tybal was tremendous defensively. Shake Milton, an underrated component tonight. He was a plus 20. Good things happened when he was on the floor, and he was able to hit some buckets going to the rim that really helped Philadelphia in their comeback late third third and early fourth. And I'll be honest, I was surprised when the Warriors got up 13 the way the game was going, because Philly was such a mess for the most part offensively, and Poole and Wiggins got rolling in that third quarter. I was surprised, as well as the Warriors had played defensively, that they wouldn't have had enough to put that game away. And ultimately, Philadelphia comes back, and they outscore the Warriors by 22 from that point on to go on to win this game themselves by that 102-93 margin. All right, 888-957-9570. We'll get to some text messages here coming back on the other side. We will also hear from Draymond Green and Stephen Curry as the Warriors drop the opener of this road trip. Warriors wrap-up continues here on 95.7 The Game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steph Curry off the screen by Wiggins to Draymond. Fakes, dribble, drive down the lane. Right hand slam for Draymond Green. Timeout, Doc Rivers. An emphatic dunk for Draymond. It's a two-point game. Philly on top, 82-80. 7:24 to go here in the fourth quarter.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson with you here for the next half hour or so. 888-957-9570. Sixers 102, Warriors 93. So the Warriors lose for the fifth time in 26 games here to begin this NBA season. Hard to believe, but already basically at the one-third marker of this season after the ball game on Monday night. Before we hear from Draymond Green, want to tie up some of the conversation with respect to Stephen Curry potentially resting on Monday night in Indiana. So did some homework on all of that, because I know it had been part of the discussion tonight. Had seen some of it on the text line as well, and just general conversation. Mark Stein was the one, formerly of the New York Times and obviously ESPN. He has his own Substack now, and he wrote about the Warriors weighing a potential rest night for Stephen Curry on Monday on the front end of the back-to-back, and then he would play the national game at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday against the Knicks. And Steph with the three three-pointers tonight, still seven three-pointers away from breaking Ray Allen's record. And fatigue has been something that has been of a concern and part of the discussion here recently. We're going to hear from Steph Curry coming up here in just a moment. He did get asked about that, so you're going to want to hear his answer specifically when he was asked about whether or not he was going to play both ends of the back-to-back, Monday in Indy, and then Tuesday against New York. You want to make sure you're locked here at 95.7 The Game for that. That's coming up here in just a few moments. And Steve Kerr was asked about it in the post-game presser in the portion that we played just moments ago. And there was an answer where he had said, going back to Steve Kerr, they'll figure it out tomorrow. Figure that out tomorrow. I think Nick Friedell had asked some things about rotation, and then the potential. There was a follow up there, and Kerr said that they'll figure that out tomorrow. As far as if Steph or if others would maybe not play on the front end of the back to back. So there is some legitimacy to a lot of that chatter with respect to these next couple of games and potentially Steph Curry not playing in one of them. It sounds like that's something that could come down when the injury report is released tomorrow evening in front of the game at Indiana. And to be honest, it does make some level of sense if you look at the odd trajectory of this trip for the Warriors, going all the way to Philly, to play the game tonight, and then back to the, you know, toward the middle of the country in the Midwest to play Indiana, and then on the second of a back-to-back going back to the Northeast to play the Knicks before a couple of days off, and then you stay in the Northeast and you go to Boston before coming back and heading up north, but again, more in the Midwest, but up north to Toronto. A little bit of a back-and-forth component there, which I think maybe makes the idea of giving Steph Curry a night a little bit more a little bit more of a likelihood of actually happening. So not just speculation, as the 510 had pointed out, people thinking he would hit enough threes tonight that he could break it in New York. I agree with this take from the 510. There's no reason to rest him. Sooner he gets the record, the sooner they'll get back to basics. But it does sound as if the Warriors are strongly considering resting Stephen Curry on Monday in Indiana. And Mark Stein was the first one to point that out, and we'll hear Steph's answer from that coming up here momentarily. 888-957-9570. Still time for some phone calls here. John Dickinson, Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. Let's quickly turn to Draymond Green, however, as he met with the media. A truncated edition. We got about 2 good minutes of Draymond talking post-game about the Sixers beating the Warriors tonight. Here's Dre.
I think the biggest issue was offensively.
I think we missed a lot of good shots.
Steve said he saw Matisse played Steph and the Steph actions as well as anyone he's seen recently. How much of what he did affected you guys?
I think they did a really good job. You got to give them credit. Their defense was good. But ultimately, I think we got good looks and we missed them.
How tough of a matchup is it? How would you evaluate
your defense tonight? My defensive performance was I was in foul trouble. You know, he's a good player. Yeah, I was in foul trouble. So,
you take a 13-point lead in the third quarter. I think Jordan made a deep three. Did you feel like you had sort of steadied everything, and what sort of changed after that?
I think they went on like a 10-0 run or something like that after that, and maybe even more than that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I'll have to go back and watch the film. I guess we just started missing again.
You mentioned the foul trouble. Did you feel like your fourth might have flipped the game in some ways?
Yeah, possibly, but we went on a run after that. But, yeah, it was a tough one.
Were you surprised? I mean, you were calling for the review. Did you think it was going to get overturned?
No, when it comes to a call, nothing surprises me at this point.
The Steph 3-point record, does that factor at all?
I think it's hanging over the world, and we all want to see it. But if you're asking me if it's negatively affecting the team, no.
Is it a topic of discussion at all?
No.
Does the ball just feel at all similar to what you all went through the first time you won championships, just kind of all the hype, all the attention?
Yeah. You know, you start to feel that. You show up before a game for shooting and the crowd's already packed. You know, the attention around the team. You definitely start to feel that. So it feels a little familiar.
All right, so there's Draymond Green there following the Warriors' loss in Philadelphia. And I think you definitely can tell that things are a little bit different. I think that only benefits the Warriors as the games start to have greater stakes and as the energy picks up, you know, leading up to a lot of these bigger games. I think that's good for this Warriors team to be able to feel that and to be able to have some kind of semblance of success with it. I think that only brings positive outcomes for the Warriors moving forward to have, you know, Steph and Draymond and Iguodala and Klay Thompson, all those guys that have been through it. They don't necessarily need to go through it, although I do think it gives some older players a jolt that are going to need it to get through a long regular season. But I also think it gives some of the younger players and more inexperienced players that are older, and the Warriors have NBA players that are older but lack a lot of NBA experience and lack the sort of championship level grind type of experience that's necessary. So I think games like tonight, I think games like the environment in Phoenix, I think games like playing at Staples Center in the opener, where all eyes are on you, Brooklyn, and look, the Warriors have had a lot of success in, you know, a lot of these games. Now they won one in L.A., one in Brooklyn. They lost in Phoenix. They lost tonight. So it's basically a split in a lot of these higher-profile games and some of the games on the road. But I think it's all positive when you look at the ability to get some level of experience in playing in that, and it gives some juice. 888-957-9570. Draymond crediting Matisse Thybul, also saying, hey, the Warriors had some good looks. And look, that's part of the deal. Like, there's just going to be some nights where the Warriors hit shots, even though they're being well defended, and they're going to win a game because when they are at their best, and Steph Curry is right at the forefront of this, when they're at their best, they hit and make tough shots and shots that demoralize the opponent. And I think that's where, you know, if there's one sort of bigger picture takeaway from a game like tonight and maybe the game in Phoenix and maybe even the home game against Memphis where the Warriors struggled and teams were able to do a number a little bit on Stephen Curry, make him work with length and physicality and trying to take the ball out of his hands at different times. Tonight and those nights are they just make you think of Klay Thompson, to put it bluntly. They make you think of Klay Thompson and can Klay Thompson come back and be an X factor that is another weapon that prevents teams from kind of having their way with the way that they want to defend Steph, because it's somebody else that can beat you. If they want to play 4-on-3, it's 4-on-3 with Draymond maybe having the basketball, attacking and throwing the ball to Klay in a corner for three, or throwing the ball to Wiggins who can make a bucket, or potentially down the line throwing a lob to somebody like James Wiseman. And all of those things are going to prevent teams from being able to do what they want to do as consistently as they have to this point against Stephen Curry. But look, let's also not get it twisted. This Warriors team's 21-5 right now. So while there have been some teams that have had small levels of success in making Steph Curry have a tough shooting night, nobody's really able to do that consistently. And I think the one thing that the Warriors have in their back pocket is they know Steph has the ability to fix himself if he has a bad game or a couple of bad games in a playoff series, but they also have a big time weapon in their back pocket in Klay Thompson, who has the ability to maybe come in and change the trajectory of the whole thing. So it we'd be having a different conversation if this was the team, is what I'm getting at. And it would be, hey, all right, maybe in a 7-game series, they would be a little bit more limited with all the attention and all of the focus going to Steph. And there would be more of the conversation of, can Steph have 4 big games out of 7 in a series, because the Warriors are going to need him to do that in order to win. I'm not sure we're to that point, because we know at some point that Klay Thompson is going to be back. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and get to our Stephen Curry 3-point update for tonight, post-game here, as Steph came into play with 132 on the evening, and he knocked down only 3. 10 away from the record, and Curry only knocks down 3 three-pointers, 3 for 14 tonight, finished with just 18 points. So Steph bumps his total of made threes for this season from 132 up to 135. And then we'll see if he plays in Indiana on Monday. If not, he'd have a great shot with a 7 3-point night in New York at Madison Square Garden at the Mecca, in front of another national television audience, with that game part of the TNT package on Tuesday to break the record then. So we'll see what happens there. But Steph with the 3 tonight, now up to 135 made threes on the season. And Masterclass lets you learn from over 100 world-class instructors anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Get 15% off your annual membership at masterclass.com. Twitter.com/the game. All right, let's go ahead and hear from Steph as he met with the media tonight inside Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia as the Sixers get the win. Steph, keep an eye, ear out as he was asked, and we'll touch on it on the back end here, about what the situation was going to be for Monday and Tuesday in Indiana and New York. Here's Steph.
What do you think was the biggest offensive issue tonight?
We obviously didn't make shots. They pressured, obviously, all night long. Tyler was obviously a pretty long defender. They were trying to force us into the paint, make the extra pass, and we kind of did that early. Didn't shoot as effective as we wanted to. We made that third quarter run, and we got really cold. And I guess a good defense like that, a good team like that, we had one chance to really put the pressure on them at the end of the third quarter. And they slowly walked us down in the fourth quarter. Moved the ball pretty well. I think we took good care of it. Just didn't knock down enough shots to give ourselves a chance down the stretch. And Joel's a problem down there. And when you have a chance to be a team like that on the road, you really got to put your foot on the throats. And down the stretch of that third quarter, we didn't do that.
Are you feeling at all?
Nah, if you take away the context of these last couple of games, I play the exact same way. Just got to make shots and understand the opposition's not going to want that to happen on their home floor. And, they defend accordingly. So I think for the most part, try to keep it out of my head and just play basketball and just take the shots I normally take. Play the game I normally do. But there's obviously a lot of attention on it, which is well deserved for the all-time NBA record. And it's one that's been standing for, 10, 11 years. So I appreciate the attention on it. It'll happen when it happens. And you got to continue to try to win games in the process.
You mentioned Dybala. How much of your shooting struggles were him? It seemed like it was tough for you to get open, but it also seemed like you missed a couple open shots you would normally make.
It was three or four that I normally make, and then usually we have a defender like that that's running you around. You're very selective about the shots that you get because their game plan is to take away, good looks. I think down the stretch of the second quarter, I got some good ones. That second half, probably until the last 3 minutes, I think I only got like three or four shot attempts. And that was not just him, but Joel kind of floating all around the floor trying to take away some good looks. They were flying around on most possessions. And I don't know, out of the 48 threes that we got, I bet you 40 of them were really good looks. Not just me, but everybody. So it's tough to win games if you shoot 25% on those type of shots. So just got to stick with the program, how we play basketball.
You got to the rim more in the first half, mid-range. Didn't do that as much in the second half. Do you wish you did more of that in the second half?
I mean, I watched the film, but it's mostly the attention that you get. You come off the screen, it's another body. Get around, it's another body. So it's not like it's just easy to just get those shots. You got to take what the defense gives you. And, we swung the ball around really well. JP got hot in the second half. We got decent looks spread around. And I like our chances if we get those looks night after night, knowing I'll shoot better. And our team will shoot better as a whole. Like I said, the record's cool, but it's also we created pretty good shots all night. So I've got to live with that. It's not going to go your way every night.
I think you probably know that there's a report that the Warriors are strongly considering resting you Sunday against the year. I know you probably never want to rest, but given two back-to-back, would you understand if that happens? Have you talked about it? What are you feeling on that? Two back-to-back certain things.
Yeah, I always want to play. It's also understanding the situation, the big picture, and reassessing after every game how your body feels. I don't want to give too much away, but you have things that you're doing regular maintenance on and understanding where we are throughout the season. So we'll make the right decision accordingly.
Do you expect to play though Monday?
We'll make the right decision accordingly.
How is your body feeling?
Like I'm 33 years old and just played 36 tough minutes. my first leg of a road trip. So obviously the mind and the mentals are good around that. You just have to do what you need to get ready for the game.
Now you're kind of back in this fishbowl with all this attention on you again. Team's doing well. I just wonder what it's like to kind of be back under this kind of scrutiny of being one of the top two or three teams, expectations being higher.
It's where we're most comfortable because we love to play at this level and to truly have championship aspirations and understand what it's going to take to get there. So we understand it's a long season. The spotlight is great because you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're winning games. And whatever attention comes with that, we have a lot of experience in how to deal with that. And also our resiliency in terms of bouncing back from losses like tonight and, you know, continuing to get better no matter what your record is. So it's fun. I enjoy every minute of it. You mentioned it a couple of times, but you also just encouraged the little things that affect winning a playoff game, a playoff series, and a championship. So that's the biggest thing to be aware of throughout the year. There are little things when it comes to defensive effort, you know, just high IQ plays, constant energy and effort every single night that you definitely, you know, shout out and encourage along the way. Because everybody can fall in love with, oh, he's shooting three ball well, or specific shooting numbers, or just, you know, anything that jumps off a stat sheet. But it's the little things that, you know, between the lines that help you, you know, create that playoff type mentality and that dog, you know, that needs to show up in those games. So that's the only thing you really talk about throughout the year. Like you said, a split is exactly how it's supposed to go for the regular season. So maybe we'll see him in June, maybe. But yeah, I always love playing against him. Y'all know that.
All right, so Stephen Curry there following this one as Curry finishes the night with 18 points on 6 of 20 shooting. So 6 of 20 for Curry, 3 of 14 from three-point range. And you just look back at these last handful of games, 6 for 20, 8 of 19 in the game against Portland, 8 of 16 and 7 of 13 from 3 against Orlando. But going back even before that, 7 for 28 against the Spurs, and 8 of 20 in the win over Phoenix. And then you go back even further, the 4 for 21 going back to November the 30th in Phoenix, the game that the Warriors lost to dip to 18-2 on the season. And it'd make you wonder if maybe Monday would be a night to get Stephen Curry a little bit of a rest. And it sure sounds like him answering the question there, and I think it was Ron Krawcheck of the Chronicle who asked it, it sounds like he's not going to be playing in Indiana on Monday, as was reported by Mark Stein and what created kind of the conversation surrounding it later on this evening that bled into to some of the post-game shows here. And just going back and looking at Steph and the game log, the Warriors have played three back-to-backs to this point this season. They've played three back-to-backs. Two of the three back-to-backs were home back-to-backs for both games. They played Houston and Atlanta at Chase Center back on November 7th and the 8th. They also had the back-to-back last weekend on Friday and Saturday where they took on Phoenix and San Antonio. Curry played in all of those games. The lone game that Curry missed was the only back-to-back on the road. So this back-to-back that's coming up Monday and Tuesday is the second back-to-back involving a pair of road games, and Curry did sit in the second of the back-to-back on the road. So it makes you wonder if maybe the Warriors have some kind of plan in place to where back-to-back road games that maybe they aren't going to have him play every single back-to-back if both games are going to be away from Chase Center. So that's just, you know, one little pattern that I picked up here as we close out the program and hearing Steph there talk, because it sure sounds like Monday in Indiana is going to be a night, although we don't know officially now, and the Warriors have said there's no decision on that, that he potentially could wind up not being in the lineup. All right, that's going to do it for me. Want to thank Sterling Bennett. Want to thank everybody else in our San Francisco studios for getting the job done and helping put this show together and cutting all the highlights and all of the post-game sound and everything, getting that ready to air. Thanks to the callers. Thanks to the texters. I'm John Dickinson. Again, I'll talk to you this week here throughout the week on 95.7 The Game. Warriors next broadcast comes your way 4 o'clock. Is game time on Monday as the Warriors take on the Pacers. That's a 2:30 Warriors Live. Damon and Ratta will have that one for you here on 95.7 The Game. And then this road trip continues with stops in New York, Boston, and Toronto after Indiana on Monday. So Sixers get the better of the Warriors tonight. 102-93 is the final, and you heard it right here on your home for Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. Good night.